I just want to open in prayer before we turn to the word. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, for each one of us. Lord, I pray that today and as we move forward with what you are laying on our heart, what you are presenting before us, Lord, I pray that we would continually be reminded that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, with each other, that you are not tribal or partisan, but you are the God of the whole universe. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to make real your love to us. And Lord, that we might continue to serve one another selflessly and humbly. And Lord, let the reality of Christ shine in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask, I've actually got a PowerPoint today. I know. Cool, eh? So it's up on the screen. Yeah, I've decided to join the rest of you in the future. The title of my message this morning, and again, it's along this theme of pressing on, and I think it's, as we begin, it's also fair to acknowledge, and based on some of the feedback I've got, that last week was relatively challenging. One of the things I want to make clear, though, is this stuff has been relatively challenging for me for quite some time, and I'm sorry that it kind of probably came as a bit of a, like, out of the blue thing, but actually, it's stuff that I have been reckoning with in my own life, in my own heart, and wrestling with about how we move forward into the future. I'm also very conscious that I've indicated to the to our church partners, to our leadership, that I'd like to be free to do whatever the new thing is God calls me at some point in the near future. And what that might mean is that I'm not around anyway. And so if you have some challenges with what I'm saying, whilst you can leave and go to another church, and that's quite all right, actually, but even if you have to endure it for a few years more, eventually I'll be gone. Yeah, as will we all. Anyway, let's move into the word. And the title of the message is When the Past Holds Tight. It's about pressing on when the past holds tight. So I want you to read Philippians 3, 13 to 14, which is up there. I'm just trying to remember if that's RSV or... because I've got two different versions. One on the slide and one in here, so that's okay. So what I'm going to do, let's read the words of Paul together, and I'll read it from up there, okay? Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I am straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Those words, or at least in a slightly different language, were written almost 2,000 years ago. But they sound like they could have been written for us here and now. Because if we're honest, every single one of us lives lives in the tension between yesterday and tomorrow. Some of us right here in this room are carrying memories that weigh heavy, mistakes we've made, regrets we can't shake, trauma burned into our psyche. Some of us are holding on to the good old days, moments when faith felt stronger, life felt simpler, and we wonder if those days are gone for good. And some of us are searching, not sure what we believe, not sure what comes next, but hoping that maybe there is something more. Paul, and it's helpful to point this out, writing from prison. He was in prison when he wrote this. Writing from prison speaks directly into that tension. And he offers not just theology, but hope you can walk with. So let's look at three kind of points. This first one, forgetting what is behind. Letting go of what holds us. Paul begins forgetting what was behind. Now, he doesn't mean wiping the memory bank. I mentioned that maybe last week. He doesn't mean pretending nothing ever happened. What he means is refusing to let the past hold us hostage. Here's a picture. Imagine driving a car while staring only into the rearview mirror. You'd know where you've been, clearly, but you'd have no idea what's in front of you. It wouldn't take long before you drift off course and crash. The rearview mirror is useful. Yeah? You're not going to get your license if you don't look at it. It's good to glance back. It's good to learn, to remember, to understand the context. Like when you're driving on the road, that there are other people around you, behind you, beside you, etc. It's helpful to know that. But if it becomes your main focus, you can't drive forward safely. And that's what Paul's saying. Don't live staring backwards. Don't let the past, whether failures or even the good old days, become your only view. Some of us carry failures and they whisper you'll never change. Some of us carry real hurts and they whisper you'll never find justice. And some of us carry successes and they tempt us to say we don't need to move forward. Things were better back then. But each of these can stop us from pressing on. God doesn't erase the past, he redeems it. He uses even the painful parts as soil for new growth. And he doesn't ask us to drive with our eyes glued to the rearview mirror. For those who've been faithful a long time, your loyalty matters. Your years of prayer, service, sacrifice, they matter. But faithfulness isn't about guarding yesterday. It's about trusting God with tomorrow. Israel in the wilderness kept saying, maybe we should just go back to Egypt. Why? Because the past felt safer than the unknown. But God's promise was ahead, not behind. So here's the invitation. What would it look like for you to shift your gaze? To glance at the past? Yes. But keep your focus on the road ahead. Straining toward what is ahead. That's what Paul continues with. This is not passive waiting. This is not crossing our arms and hoping life gets better. This is active, intentional, daily pressing forward. One of the interesting developments in the social service space, particularly with non-government organizations, is that some who have a large amount of reserves, are essentially retreating and retrenching, preserving what they've got, restricting what they offer, waiting for a governmental change, or waiting for a policy change, or waiting for this replacement they think is, or something is going to come back. But it's stopping them doing anything right now. And unfortunately, in all likelihood, things aren't going back. You have to find a new way to do what you're called to do. probably even sadder is I've spoken with other pastors about what we do and how we express the gospel and faith. And their first kind of statement has been, but there's no government funding for that. We want to deliver the service because then we can get some money and we can pump it into the church. Does that sound like a godly thing to do? Straining towards what is ahead. Think of climbing a mountain. You don't leap to the summit. You take step after step. Sometimes you stop to catch your breath. Sometimes you trip. Sometimes you need someone else to pull you up. But you keep moving. That's the life of faith. One of the things that God does is, and what the Bible does is it presents a set of impossible ideals. It presents a set of impossible to accomplish laws and rules. It presents all of them as impossible. And then we give up because we go, I can't do that. I can't be perfect. As if God doesn't already know that. For those still searching here today, pressing on might look like asking a new question or showing up in community even when you're not sure what you believe. For those faithful but hesitant, pressing on might not mean throwing away everything you've known. It might simply mean opening your hands to a new way God wants to use you. Christians are not settlers. We are pilgrims. Settlers guard the ground they've claimed. Pilgrims keep moving, and even when they don't see the whole map. And here's the good news. You don't have to walk alone. Paul never says, I press on by myself. I do it all by myself. He doesn't say that. He says, we press on together and Christ himself walks with us. Finally, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. What God has called me heavenward for. In Christ Jesus. What is the prize? What is the prize? It's not applause. It's not accolades. It's not likes on Instagram. It's not popularity on social media. It's not even a bigger church. It's not celebrating a report of how many people gave their lives to Christ either. It's not a better life. The prize is a person, Christ himself. The whole reason Paul can press on is because his eyes aren't fixed on the weight of his past or the difficulty of the journey. They're fixed on Jesus himself. When marathon runners hit the wall, what keeps them going? Sometimes it's the finish line. Sometimes it's the people cheering on from on the sidelines. Hebrews 12 says we too are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Can you picture that? The generations of faith cheering us on. And at the finish line, Christ himself waits, arms open. For the resistant, faithfulness isn't just holding the line. It's keeping our eyes on him. For the searching, the call of Christ isn't about a system of rules. It's about a relationship with the one who already knows you and loves you. Christ didn't die for you because you cleaned your act up and decided to come to church. This is why I believe hope is not naive optimism. Hope is a person calling your name. So what can we conclude from that? What do we do with that? Paul gives us a pattern for life in Christ. Let go of what holds you. Don't let regret or nostalgia weigh you down. Press on in the present, one faithful step at a time. Fix your eyes on Christ, the true prize, the reason we run. I want to leave you with two questions. What one rearview mirror memory you need to stop staring at this week? What's one? The second is, what small step forward will you take toward Christ? Wherever you stand today, whether you've been in church for decades, whether you're unsure what you believe, whether you feel stuck in the past, the invitation is the same. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. Press on. We're not pressing on alone. We're not doing it in our own strength. But with Christ, toward Christ, for Christ, in Christ. These next few months, as we shift towards the end of the year and into the new year, the world continues to turn and things continue to happen around us. And we cannot be led by the chaos that's around us. We cannot be led by shock after shock of the things that we're seeing that kind of deeply affect us in the world around us. When we lose sight of Jesus, we begin to sink. When we lose sight of Christ, we lose direction, we lose stability, we lose all of the things that everyone in the world has kind of lost already. And we can get compelled by what we're reading or what we're looking at, or what we're listening to, rather than turning back, recognizing what Christ has already done in us, and looking forward towards Him. The journey of faith is not just about giving your life to Christ and then learning how to be a better Christian. The whole point of giving your life to Christ is that you might know Him, that you might draw nearer to Him until that day when you are with Him. When you know Him as you are fully known by Him. Let us not lose sight of that. Let us let go of what holds us. Press on, one faithful step at a time, fixing our eyes on Christ. I'm leaving it a bit shorter today, partly because that gives you more time to come and ask me questions if you want to. But secondly, because if I add more stuff to this, it's just me rambling on. So one day I'll learn to keep my messages short. So at 10 to 12, let's bow our heads and Father, I thank You again for Your continued faithfulness to us. Jesus, we continue to look to You, keep our eyes fixed on You and not distracted by everything that is around us. Lord, keep our eyes fixed on You, acknowledging our past and where we've come from and honoring it. But Lord, not letting it define us and pressing on into what You are calling us to. Lord, I pray that You would continue to make clear to us how we can be obedient to You. Lord, I ask this for us as a congregation and group of believers. That you would continue to treat us as friends, confiding in us and sharing with us what it is you want to do. Lord, I pray you bless everyone here today and their wider and the wider community that we represent. Lord, I pray your blessing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.